This is your podcast for all things refinishing. I'm Lane Ball with Zebras Before and After. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 3. This week's show begins a series of interviews with the category winners of the 2020 Zebra Golden Brush Awards. Today we hear from three of those winners, Lily Moon Vintage, Potter Rebarn, and Salvaged by K. Scott. We'll be airing the remaining interviews over the next two episodes. You'll thoroughly enjoy hearing from your refinishing friends as they share how they went about creating these award-winning pieces. We'll hear from our Zebra Furniture Flip host, Jen Talley. She'll give us a quick update and share about the site where you can enter your ugly duckling pieces. You'll also hear a refinishing tip, check in from a few of your friends on what they're working on in their studios this week, and we'll hear another Did You Know segment. Stay with us. We have the inspiration, fun, and community that will platform your day. Well, we are excited now to play for you the winners of three of the categories in our 2020 Golden Brush Awards. Our first interview will be with Yari of Lily Moon Vintage. She won Best Dramatic Makeover. Then we'll hear from Danielle and Evan, husband and wife team of Potter Rebarn. They won Best New Artist of 2020. And we'll wrap up today's interview with Katie of Salvaged by K. Scott. Katie won Best Repurposed Piece. Enjoy hearing from these talented artists. Hello, Yari, and congratulations on winning Best Dramatic Makeover.
Hi, Lane. Thank you so much.
And your piece was amazing.
thank you.
You know, it's so funny because I've looked at it. Actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, we featured on the Zebra Weekly Pick not long after you introduced it, and it just keeps popping up.
It's been a fan favorite, apparently.
It has. And I was going back and looking at the descriptions for the Golden Brush Awards, and I mean, it definitely met the contest category criteria of the wow factor.
Thank you.
Now, when you submitted this piece, Yari, and as you reflected on all of your work for 2020, was this piece a no-brainer for you to enter in the Dramatic Makeover category, or were you like battling between a couple different ones?
I remember battling a little bit because I'm like, you know, this is the first time I ever entered. I didn't really know, you know, and then of course you're judging yourself, so right. Which is like the hardest. but I felt like this was the one that had the most dramatic transformation. It wasn't just paint related, you know, it was a lot more that went into it. And my husband and I both worked on this one together, so we were pretty proud of that one. So I'm like, you know what, that's it. I'm just going to enter that one.
Yeah, well, I don't blame you. Obviously, you made the right decision. But I asked that question too because you've got a lot of neat pieces that you've done. And I mean, I would say they're definitely dramatic makeovers. But when you did this one, it's funny, in furniture refinishing, there's a lot of like sort of like renditions of different types of styles.
Right.
But honestly, when you did this, this was like you really created a whole new sort of creative category when you developed this piece. So I know for listeners, you know, if you didn't get to see the Golden Brush Awards, if you didn't go review those, definitely go out to our enjoyzebra.com site and you can click on the Golden Brush Awards. That tab is still up. So you can check those out, and or you can go to Yari's Instagram account at Lily Moon Vintage. So for those who can't, maybe they're driving, maybe they're working, and maybe they haven't seen this, why don't you describe the before for our listeners so that we can put things into context for them?
Okay. So when I saw this piece, it was, I purchased it through Marketplace. It was very inexpensive, probably just because it just really looked outdated. I want to say it had some sort of maybe oriental type of vibe to it. and I had just had a conversation with my brother. So the inspiration behind this piece was like two different things. It was a conversation that I had just had with one of the older brothers that I have, and then something that I had seen on Pinterest. So when I saw it, I was like, something about it just drew me in. And I messaged a lady and it was available. I mean, we picked it up literally on our way home from another stop that we had made. And I don't know, it just spoke to me. And then of course I'm obsessed with green. So I knew it was going to be green right off the bat. So
yeah, you're right. It's funny that you described kind of an Oriental Asian vibe to it, because I guess it's the centerpiece. So you've got these, I guess you'd call it a cabinet, right?
I mean, originally it was like a TV cabinet. Somebody had put their, their TV, and it had like a backing with like a little hole in it where you put the cables through it and all that. And we changed all that out.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I think it's that centerpiece. I don't know if it was a piece of hardware or part of the hardware or forms the circle.
Yeah, it was like some sort of like medallion or something.
So you mentioned a bench, and you mentioned this on your Facebook, or excuse me, on your Instagram page, and I actually saw it, and I actually pulled it up. You found this, and this bench became the inspiration for what you created. Tell us about this bench.
So, I usually have, things that I have pinned on my Pinterest for inspiration. And that day, because I was talking to my brother about something for his wall that we wanted to create some type of like textured, element to a wall, like a focal wall or something, like an accent wall. And, I remember I looked up, and you know how sometimes you look up something on on the Pinterest or Google, and then it just kind of prompts you to like 1,000 other things that are related to it. So I think that texture, I don't know, Pinterest just grabbed something from that and just kind of threw that bench out at me, and my jaw dropped when I saw it. I love the velvetiness of it. I was like, man, if I can recreate that velvetiness on a piece, that would be amazing. I don't think I got that far, but the fact that it was kind of like a woven type of material, and it just kind of like squares and things, something about that, I was like, wow, that's really like, it's really honing in on what I was just talking to my brother about with his wall. And I guess my brain just started going crazy and came up with
Yeah, it did.
that
It really did in a good way, because how you were able to take a bench, pull from the creativity that you saw in the bench, and then apply it to a furniture piece, like, I mean, because that's fabric, as you
Right.
mentioned, and to figure out how to create that textured look to it without fabric and using wood is absolutely amazing and such a cool thing. It's so much fun to see and hear about people's creative processes and what they go through. And that's so funny when you talk about Googling or Pinterest and how one thing leads to the next, and you keep,
Yep.
and sometimes you get so far, you're like, what did I start off
Exactly. You go down
with?
like a rabbit hole.
That's right. Oh, I have to say, this is strategic creativity. I mean,
Thank
it's
you so
just, it
much.
is really, really cool.
I will have to say, my husband looked at me like a little weird when I gave him the idea. I'm like, no, all you got to do is buy a 4x4 at Home Depot. And he's like, okay, but what are we doing with it? And I was like, don't worry about it. I'll explain to you when we get home.
Oh man. Well, he certainly put the elbow grease into this as well, it sounds like.
For sure.
So why don't you go ahead and just tell us about the details and like the process that you went through to create what you ended up with.
Okay, so the cabinet, like I said, it used to be a TV type of cabinet. So when you open it up, the doors actually kind of folded in two, like both doors folded into two pieces. So we took the doors apart, we connected the doors with some like metal plates, just to make sure that they didn't fold back, because if we were going to do all that like structure in the front with the wood, we couldn't just just figure it out to where it would fold in two pieces with all of that wood in the front. So we decided to just make it into one solid piece on both sides. And then after that, we just cut a whole bunch of different pieces of wood out of that 4x4, in different sizes, so that it would have some kind of like dimensional, some were a little skinnier, some were a little thicker, kind of creating that 3D effect, I guess. And then we started cutting all the pieces. I decided to round out. It was a lot of sanding, I'll tell you that. A lot of sanding, more than I anticipated.
Oh man.
I wanted to round out all of the edges, and then I didn't realize that when you cut the wood, it would have such deep grain in the center of that 4x4. So there was a lot of sanding of the pieces itself. And even after we mounted them onto the doors, there was still a lot of sanding and a lot of like I did I filled in some grain as well, just to get it as smooth as I could. But it was honestly, I'm kind of excited to do something like that again. Even though I said I was like, I don't know if I'll do that again, because it took me a while to get it done, but I'm kind of excited to recreate something similar.
Oh yeah, I mean, you got to do that. This is the Yari signature piece here, and you got to do it
Yeah.
again. Now, it was funny because I was looking at the end result, and I was like, I wonder how many square pieces. So I just kind of quickly, did the math and counted everything out.
You did? You
Well, what I did, I
counted
didn't count the bordering pieces. So I guess there's about, looks like 50 on each panel, if I'm
Okay.
right. And
Oh,
yeah, so
wow.
that's
Okay.
100 squares on the front.
Jeez, I didn't
And
even realize
yeah,
that.
the other thing that I kind of figured out was that it looks like you were talking about you cut them at different lengths, and and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it looks like there were three different lengths.
Yeah, I did about, yeah, but right about three. There's a couple that we ended up having to do just because we were running out of wood. We ended up just like having a little bit skinnier, a little bit thicker than others. But for the most part, there are three different sizes.
Yeah, where those are at, I would never be
Yeah.
able to tell. Anytime you do texture, what's cool is when light hits it, and it creates that depth,
Right.
and that becomes sort of an art in itself. And then even the hardware that you put on there, I think what I'm curious about too is that did you guys just lay this out? Did you sketch or draw anything? And like, how did you come? Because you've bordered it out evenly. And your 100 pieces or your 50 pieces on each panel worked out perfectly. Because if you'd gotten that off, I mean, it would have been
I
bad.
know. We didn't sketch it out or anything. I mean, I had my husband start with maybe, I think maybe he did like two rows. And I told him, just cut those. We'll figure out how many exactly we need. Then we came into that problem like, oh my gosh, it's, the squares don't fit perfectly all the way through. So then that's why we ended up having to do the skinnier ones on the sides. And I mean, I think it worked well anyways. But that wasn't in the original plan. I was ho really hoping that it would be like
Exactly.
perfect all the way through. But yeah, then we once we cut out all the squares, we laid them all out on the door to make sure that we had the placement and all that. And I just kind of laid them there after I sanded them down. I put them back, and then I figured, okay, I'm just gonna leave them there because if not, my order is gonna get all messed up. So I'm gonna glue and nail right in place. So
So you did, that was my question. So you did glue them and nail them?
yes. Yep, that they have wood glue and they have nails in there.
Wow. Now, at
Yep.
any point, did you wonder if you were doing the right thing?
Oh yeah, the whole time. The whole time I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't even know if this is even gonna look good, but I'm hoping.
Yeah. So what about your husband? Was like at one point was he like, did he have to go all the way to the end before he was like, oh my gosh, this is pretty
Well,
cool.
the thing with my husband is that he always has to go all the way to the end to see it. He questions everything I do. I mean, he's gotten to the point where he's like, okay, I trust you. I know it's going to look good at the end. And he just does it, but he doesn't, he's not very visual. He can kind of get the idea, but it's not until the end where he's like, oh, wow, crap. Yeah, you were right.
Wow. Well, I'm sure he said wow at the end of this.
Yeah, I mean, and that piece also, if you see the before picture, the top had kind of like a crown molding type of thing, and I was like, I mean, no, it's not going with that sleek modern, vibe that I'm going for, and it wasn't just something that you can just pop off. It was one solid piece all the way around. So I was like, I told my husband, I was like, can you get the jigsaw and like cut it and then just make it straight? And he fought me on that. He's like, I don't know if I can do that. It's gonna mess it up and blah 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 blah. Finally, we did it. We did mess it up. I know there's one section that we did mess up, but nothing a little bit of Bondo can't fill, So, and then I went ahead and I took a piece of like a skinnier wood molding and then I attached that to the top. So now it's like all nice and modern.
Yeah, furniture finishers have so many tricks up their sleeve. I mean,
Yeah.
and you have to be if you think about it, because if you buy an old piece, well, I mean, most of them are old pieces, but if you go to work on it, I mean, you can't always use what's there. You have to, especially if it's got veneer damage or,
Right.
structural damage, you got to fix it and hide it.
Right. It's really not always just painting. There's a
Right.
lot more that goes to it.
Oh yeah, there's so much to the skeletons of the piece that require work. But that's so funny because I grew up, my dad's a contractor, and I used to work with him in the summers. And then when we remodeled the house that we live in, my excuse for everything was like, oh, that's okay. That's what caulking is for. We'll fix it with caulking.
Yep.
And he just kind of rolls his eyes and like, that's not the way you're supposed to do things.
Right.
But the whole thing though with furniture refinishing is a different game because you have to use those things. And it just the way you just brought everything together was just masterful. You created your own color with this, I think, didn't you? Did you mix some colors?
I did. And I mean, I think 80% of my pieces are custom colors. I don't know why. I love creating colors. And I have a lot of Dixie Belle color recipes that I've done over the years. I believe that one I did like a mix of palmetto and probably, gosh, was it tree frog green? Evergreen. I think it was evergreen. Evergreen and palmetto. And yeah, I wanted palmetto is a very like cool tone green, and I wanted to brighten it up a little bit, so that's why I added a little bit of the evergreen.
And you did you say you do keep your recipes when you do these mixes, or is it just like kind of like cooking? You just throw it all in and see what happens?
No, actually, I do keep track of them just because everybody's always asking me like, "Oh my gosh, what color is that?" And I hate having to say I have no idea.
Yeah, well, that's good.
So I do keep track, and I try to keep it as easy as possible for everybody. So for the most part, I like to do like 50-50 ratios.
Oh,
but yeah, I do keep track of them. I have a whole notebook full of recipes. Yeah.
Well, now Yari, how did you not keep this piece?
Oh my gosh. So the weird thing about this piece is, or the funny story behind this piece is that I did it and I listed it on my Etsy because I was like, you know, Etsy, usually you would make a little bit more money on Etsy. So I listed it. I think I went to Florida for about a week or two. And then I came back and the whole drawer or the whole shelf we put inside warped. And I was so devastated. I was like, oh no. So anyways, I kind of discouraged me a little bit from selling it. So I actually took it off the market and I didn't get back to it till about 2 or 3 months later when I finally fixed the shelf, then enlisted it, and then it sold within a week or two. Yeah, but I mean, it's not the style in my home. So I think that's why it was a little bit easier to, to sell it. And I really just wanted somebody to really appreciate the work that I put into it. So,
well, I'm sure they're enjoying it. And, hopefully they know it was an award-winning piece as well. That's really neat.
Yeah, the lady actually messaged me afterwards and she saw it somewhere, I don't know where, but she saw that it was it was up for an award. So then she had messaged me to congratulate me. And she uses it in her living room. She says she has part of it is board games and some of it is blankets. So I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, very cool. So Yari, what would you say to someone who sees this award-winning piece and would like to do something creative like this, but is scared?
I mean, what I would say is you won't know until you try, because I sure did not know how this was going to turn out, but I tried it. And at the end of the day, if it doesn't work, then you just start over, you know? And what I would also recommend is starting maybe with a piece that's not very, you know, expensive, get a really inexpensive piece and play around with that. So that way, you know that you didn't put too much money into it, you know?
Right. That's good advice.
So
yeah, that's great. Well, a common question to all of the 10 category winners is, I want you to tell us what you enjoy so much about furniture refinishing.
I think what I enjoy the most is just the connections that I've made. The furniture refinishing community is amazing and they're so supportive. And I love helping and I love teaching what I do. And I don't know, there's just some sense of, I don't know. I feel happy when I'm able to help, even if it's just one person out there.
Yeah.
And then aside from that, you know, just painting is just very therapeutic for me. Mm-hmm. And whenever I'm feeling really stressed out about anything, I know I can just sit down in front of a piece and start painting and it just kind of goes away, you know? So
do you derive any therapy from the prepping at all?
No.
Try to find someone.
No, I mean, I do have to say if you invest in like good tools, eventually it will be enjoyable because I recently invested in some good tools and it's just made my life so much easier. And somehow now I actually enjoy sanding. Which is something I didn't do before. So
you're exactly right. I keep saying that around the house too. I'm like, you know what? If I just had the right tools, I wouldn't mind fixing things.
Exactly.
Well, one last question, and we're changing it up a bit because I'm asking this at the end as opposed to the beginning, but gotta have a weather report.
Yes.
Tennessee, what's going on in Tennessee? Are you?
So the weather right now is about 46, 47 or so, which is kind of crazy because Sunday was beautiful, 71 degrees. So it dropped back down. So, but I think it's getting up there. We're starting to feel a little bit of more like spring vibes. We'll see.
Yeah, I know. We're getting a lot of teasers, aren't
Yes,
we?
definitely.
Yeah, because we probably have pretty similar weather. I
Yeah,
know
I
there's
think
some
so
differences
too.
now and then, but because we're at 45 right now in North Carolina. But yeah, like you, I believe there was 2 days last week that we got close to 70 and sunshine. It was like amazing, amazing weather.
I know, I miss it so. I didn't realize how much I missed the
I know, exactly. Oh, man. Well, Yari can be found on Instagram at Lily Moon Vintage. Any other social media or website info you want to share, Yari?
Well, you can find me at Lily Moon Vintage on Facebook as well as Pinterest. I'm always pinning some inspirations for those refinishers that are looking for, fun and exciting things to do. I have different boards with different colors. If you're looking for a specific piece or anything like that, you can check my Pinterest out for that. But no, that's about it.
Well, I think people are going to definitely follow your Instagram account if they aren't already, Facebook, and also Pinterest. Talking about that bench, they're going to want to see it. So definitely follow Yari's boards. Well, congratulations on winning the Best Dramatic Makeover. There were so many entries and incredible finalists, but you pulled it off and the public voted and gave you the honors. Enjoy the community prestige. Yeah.
Thank you so much, not only to you, and everybody at Zebra, but to all the voters. Thank you so much.
Well, it's definitely well deserved. So you enjoy the limelight on that one.
Thank you.
Hello, Danielle and Evan. Congratulations on winning Best New Artist of 2020.
Hi, thank
Hello.
you.
Thank you very much.
So excited.
You know, this is a major accomplishment because a lot of people jumped into furniture refinishing in 2020. So there were a lot of really talented contenders. That was definitely seen by the other finalists as well. And typically, you think new folks are going to take some time to get to a place where their work is well above par and where they are turning out showstoppers. But you guys, as well as many others, have shown differently. I mean, it's been incredible.
I know. Well, we've been lucky enough in some ways to be able to take advantage of this pandemic and leverage our hobbies and really hone in on skills. So that part's been good.
Yeah, well, before we get into discussing your piece, we want to learn a little bit about you guys. So first, tell us about yourselves and where you live.
We live in Stratford, Connecticut, which is in the southwest portion of Connecticut. It's in Fairfield County. We both have day jobs, but we primarily focus on this after work and on weekends. So that's pretty much where we are. We have two little dogs. It's just us right now, so there's no little kitties to run around yet after. So we have more time on our hands than most right now.
Yeah, and but do you really? I mean, now that you're into furniture refinishing, I mean, if you've got day jobs and furniture refinishing, probably kind of difficult to squeeze out some extra time.
It is, but the way things are right now, at least in Connecticut for us, it's just still not really back to where it was prior to the pandemic. So there's not really much else to do besides find a hobby and buckle down.
Yeah. That's true. Well, you've made the most of your time. Now, you said, did I hear you correctly? Did you say Stratford?
That's correct.
So you guys are actually pretty close to New York City.
We
Yes,
are.
we are. We're about, on a good day, we'll hit the New York line in less than an hour.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So you guys got lots of options when things aren't under a pandemic.
Correct.
Man. So you have to tell us what the weather's like there today.
Cold.
It's actually getting better though. Spring is in the air. I mean, we're having a lot of highs and lows. Yesterday was very warm. We're expecting in the 30s over the weekend though, so.
Yeah. So you said yesterday was warm. Like, what's warm for that time of year there?
People in other part of the country is probably gonna laugh, but probably like 40, 45.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I understand. It's funny because I would say that it has been a little bit colder than normal here in the South, but today I think it's supposed to get close to 65, 68 with sunshine. So, but that's been good because we've had a lot. I don't know about you guys, but we have had so much rain this winter.
Yes.
I mean, it's just been
a lot of snow. Yeah. But it's almost all melting now.
Yeah, but I bet so, especially if you're getting up into the 40s, the balmy 40s. Yeah, that's part of the challenge of the South, although I think it's a good thing because I was born in Michigan, so I had, about till I was eight, I was able to experience what it's like to live in the North in wintertime. But when you come to the South and you get any kind of snowfall, it just typically doesn't last long. You get to enjoy it for a couple of days, and then it's like gone. I mean, you see traces. You see a little bit of snow in the under the trees, you know, in the shadows because the sun doesn't get to it, so...
Well, you get the best of both worlds then.
Yes. You know what? You're exactly right. And that's why I love it, because you get to enjoy the snow when it falls and then you get to see it go away.
Right. <It's nice. laughs> You don't have to deal with all the messiness.
Yeah. Ours takes a little longer to go away.
You know, so you mentioned earlier that taking advantage of the situation in a positive way. Has the pandemic, is this what really got you into refinishing, or give us a little bit of understanding about, you know, how you got into it specifically?
Yeah. So, Evan's parents actually gave us a few pieces of furniture a couple years back that we painted ourselves. But at that point we had no idea what we were doing and we just wanted to kind of bring them up to our style. So that was probably the extent of our experience. And we never sold anything. When the pandemic started, though, I had bought one piece of furniture that I just really wanted to test out stripping and bleaching. So I did that, and I had planned to use it beneath our television as like a console table. And we got it in the house, and I'm like, I don't really like it as much for our space. It was just too bulky. So I'm like, let's just try to sell it, and we'll find another piece that works for us. And that's what hooked us. So from there, and at that point it was, I was still working, but I had gotten furloughed maybe 2 weeks after that. And Evan, his day job's in the mortgage industry. And at the start of the pandemic, it was kind of crickets for a few weeks. Now he's never been busier, but he had some extra time to dedicate to like fill our days with a hobby. So we started doing that, and it really took off, and it just sucked us right in, like the entire process of it, finding the piece, changing it, totally transforming it, and then selling it. All of it was just really interesting to us.
Yeah, and I think one of the cool things, and I know you guys have obviously seen that and participated in it, but a lot of times when you do a hobby that turns into a business, you're kind of on your own. And you still are to a degree, right? I mean, you run and control your own business, but to be able to have a community like this of refinishers that support one another, and you can get inspiration, you can ask for help, you can showcase your work so that other people can really enjoy it. And it's really a phenomenal industry to be a part of. So
really,
I'm glad you guys are a part of it today, because it's exciting to see new people come in and to see people, as I mentioned earlier, that are so talented. Now, I love, absolutely, you guys have such a cool name.
That's all Evan.
Yeah, good job. No, I love it. And you know what? The reason why I say it's such a cool name is because it's so memorable. And, you know, that's really neat. Good job on that.
Thank you.
So who does what in the business?
So, well, typically, like I said, we started off, it was kind of a joint effort, and then Evan really got super busy with his day job. So he's become more of the muscle and the repairs, and I've become more of the painter and the stager. And
yeah, it's funny.
We do work a lot together, though, and there's a lot of times when I'll have to ask his input. And
yeah, we call my position research and development.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, growing up, my grandfather was very hands-on, jack of all trade. Following him around is very young. So I picked up a lot of different techniques of repairs or how to use tools in a certain way. So it's come very handy when we get furniture that, for example, might need to have a piece of wood replaced on it because it's just so shot that you can't even repair it. So that has definitely come in benefit for us, such as removing the backs of pieces of furniture with old rusted nails that you would think wouldn't even be able to pull out. So it's time-taking, but I enjoy it. It's relaxing for me.
You probably enjoy the challenge of it as well, I would imagine.
I do.
He does. And I think as time goes on, you're getting more and more interested in like repurposing stuff. Like we've been having a couple pieces lately that we're like getting a little bit more creative and not just repairing them, but thinking about how we might be able to repurpose them.
Like we had a piece that was had two drawers and it was missing the bottom drawer. It was unrepairable. So we had to remove the tracks from where the drawer slid in on the bottom. And then I had to cut wood to make it look like a shelf and everything and perfectly placed. So
that kicked it off.
Yeah.
So do you guys, have you found that you guys work really well together? And I say this because it's funny how you can marry someone and love them deeply, but you can't run a business together.
It's not all sunshine every day. We'll say that. We'll have a difference of opinions, but she wins 90% of the time.
Well, at least you go to the boardroom and work it out, right?
I mean, talking about. At least I know I can't be fired.
<That's right. laughs> So, you know, I'm interested knowing where you're located, and now that you're in the business and selling pieces. Do you sell any work into New York City, or is it primarily just right where you live?
Well, we actually mostly sell our pieces on Facebook Marketplace right now. I've been a little bit intimidated, I guess, by shipping. But luckily, since we're that close, we do have some people that are coming in from New York to pick up pieces. We've had people in the Hamptons come. And I've even had some people in Maryland ask me if they can come drive here for it, which I'm shocked because I don't really know what in the world I would want so badly that I'd take that. So yeah, we do. And we have people drive in, which is like such a nice compliment to us. It just feels great to have people coming from that far to pick up stuff.
Well, you know, and I've said this so often on the podcast, but you know, you guys are creating work that is unique. I mean, you're taking in these old pieces and sometimes not sold, but most of the times they are, and you're, you know, reworking them and making them your own and putting your own talent all over it. So it's, you know, these pieces, I think we're coming out of a generation where everything was built in the factory. Before that, there was a lot more customized work taking place, and some of those pieces are coming back because
old furniture is a lot easier to work with for sure.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But to be able to take those pieces, bring them back from a generation, a couple generations back, possibly, to restore them and then give them new life, put them, you know, in some cases, just restoring still looks like the same piece, but a lot of times it's restoring and adding more, maybe more of a modernized look to it to fit a new style. But that's phenomenal. And people like that. It's not so cookie cutter, and it's not something that you see. You walk into your home, you've got a piece, and people are like, wow. That is so cool. I want one. Well, you can maybe call them and get one like it, but you won't be able to get one just like this, you know? So that's neat.
Yeah. They're all one of a kind for sure.
Well, let's discuss your winning piece. Obviously, because this is audio, we try to be as descriptive as possible, but if you would describe what the piece looked like when you got it and where you got it.
So we actually found that on Facebook Marketplace, it was listed at $20, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, so I did not ask for the measurements because I was so excited to get it that I jumped in the car. Evan has a massive SUV that most of our stuff luckily fits in. And we went straight over to this abandoned warehouse to pick it up, which actually turned out to be like a gun factory that had gone out of business. So the man was leaving and he had this hutch in the factory. So we get it outside and tried to get it into the car, and it was like 2 inches too wide for the car. Oh, I'm like, man. I need this piece. It's 20 bucks. We got to figure it out. So luckily our Home Depot rents out trucks for $20 for 70 minutes. So I'm like, this is still worth it. Let's go get a truck. We'll go back and pick it up. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what we did.
I offered to leave her there as collateral. And then the guy started showing us his guns that he owns. So I said, all right, Danielle, you can come with me.
That's right. We'll come back by when we get the truck, right? Wow, this piece looks like it was in pretty good shape.
It was. It did have a stench, I'll be honest, of cigarette smoke, which luckily we were able to get out by cleaning it with some vinegar and prior to refinishing it. And it it really turned into a brand new piece once the whole process was complete.
Any knowledge of the history of it? Not so much about where it was at and how long he had it, but just like the date of this piece. It looks like an MCM.
I didn't really find much about it, but it was actually his partner's, and his partner had passed away. But in that same trip, we had gotten so many other cool, like, vintage books. I didn't find much about it. Typically, I do try to do some amount of research on these kinds of pieces once we get them home. But there weren't really any markings. And that happens often with these mid-century modern pieces where there's not much to tell about it. So yeah. I didn't find too much about.
Yeah, you're basically going off of the style, right? To try to, I mean, that helps put it in context of when it was designed and built. But outside of that,
yeah, I mean, if I can't find any markings on it, typically I'll try to Google everything down to like 3 cabinets, 2 shelves, like. But not much came up for this one, but it was a beauty.
Okay, so you got it in the depot truck. You get it home. Now tell us what transpired.
It actually sat in our garage for a while. And typically when I get a piece like this, I'm so excited to start on it. But this one just sat there for a bit and I just gave it some thought on what exactly I wanted to do. So sometimes when I'm figuring out how I want to design something, I'll go to so many lengths. Like I'll Pinterest the style, mid-century modern, like dining room right now. And I'll look at the decor and I'll try to figure out what would fit in the majority, because it's tough to be really bold with a piece and expect it to sell quickly. So this one, I decided that I wanted to paint it sort of a neutral and black, and I wanted to make it look like artwork. So I did a bit of research on different like mid-century modern type wallpapers. And after a while, I finally settled on this one, and it actually was brand new. It had just come out from Roommates Decor. It had no reviews, which I always love to read the reviews first. It had no photos from any previous purchasers. And I'm like, let's just get it and we'll see what happens. And I got it home and I'm like, I love it. So once I had the wallpaper and the color, I just kind of went from there. And I love dark colors with natural wood right now. So that was how we decided to do the legs and the shelves. And
so you sanded down the shelves and the legs. Did you also sand down the body?
Well, we did just to make the adhesion of the paint better, but
yeah, not to the point or the depth of how far this it sanded down.
Just a little scuff sanding.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what paint did you use?
That's actually Fusion Mineral Coal Black.
Gotcha.
With a varnish over it. And then for the shelves, a lot of times when I do the natural wood, I'm hesitant on what sealer I'm going to use because I don't want to change the color much, but I actually came across this Varathane wax that's a matte wax, and it really protects them and it doesn't alter the color much. So that's what I used them on the shelves, and it turned out great. It didn't really change the color much. It kept still that like raw look.
And I'm looking at one of the close-up shots of how you got it staged. It's also staged very nicely. Good job on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's all her.
But there's little grooves in the back of the shelves. Were those grooves there at the beginning?
They were. And they were tough to get into. But like I sanded them clean, but we didn't have to really get so raw. I liked how the contrast added to it.
Did you paint the, is there, from the photo, it looks like the grooves have black in them, the same as the paint on the body. Is that true? Or is it just the?
No, it's just the previous stain was so dark, so I didn't have to get that close. They were actually in really good shape when we got them too. If I didn't want that raw look, I probably could have kept them, but.
Yeah, that's actually, those grooves are the same color as the original piece itself.
Oh, wow. So
they're just cleaned up a bit.
Yeah, they're cleaned up so it doesn't look as, it does look like it matches to the eye for sure.
Yeah, that's what I thought was really cool about it. I just like the way everything kind of flows really nicely together. And it looks like from the photo, it's more of a matte black too. I guess the coal black and then the wax that you put on it. It doesn't have a shine to it. It's more of a matte look to it. I suppose that's what you were after there.
Yes. A lot of the pieces that we do have a matte finish. I don't know why I'm so drawn to that finish, but it's usually what our go-to is.
Yeah. No, it's very nice. It's funny when you see something that's been redone like this and you think, what if that had been like a high gloss. I'm like, no,
I mean, another thing that we realized is the more shine you use for a finish, the more you may see slight imperfections.
Yeah.
The way that the sun or light will reflect off of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not as forgiving.
So when you use a matte and it doesn't have so much glare, it looks just so much better as far as how it comes out as your final product.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. That's the same as on walls too. In fact, we've had times where, you look at a wall and it's like, especially if you're taking an old home and you're not able to put new drywall in, or you're just trying to repair what you have. And if there's a lot of marks and places in it, it's really best to go as flat as you can, as you just said, Evan, to keep that glare from highlighting it, because that's exactly what it does. It highlights it.
Pretty much. It's like, look at me.
There's things that you didn't even notice were there to begin with that you'll notice once it has more of a satin finish on it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So tell me about the hardware. It looks like you changed the hardware as well.
No, actually, that's the original hardware. We put a satin finish on it because I wanted it to pop a little bit, but not too much. But the backs, if you'll notice on the cabinet, they have that vertical, like, decorative thing. We removed those because I felt like that was kind of aging it a little bit. And then we were able to put those circular pulls right back on it, and they fit just fine.
Yeah, they do. They look really nice. Now, did you guys sell this piece?
We did. Actually, I posted it on our Facebook page, and then I had planned to list it on Marketplace. And within a minute, somebody contacted me and asked if it was still available. And at that point, I hadn't even gone through the process that we do when we list a piece of the time we've put in. This is how we like price everything. The time we've put in, what our initial cost was, our supplies. I hadn't even gone through that yet, so I didn't even have our price for it. But the guy picked it up immediately, and it was gone. I didn't even have a chance to consider keeping it for ourselves. I loved it so much.
Yeah, it was nice.
Do you miss it?
I do miss it, but I miss a lot of our pieces.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Because that really should be the case, right? I mean, you put so much into a piece, and it's part of you in many ways, and so you should miss your pieces, but you just can't miss them so much that you keep them all.
Right. I know. I said to Evan, we could become hoarders if we kept everything.
Yeah. Well, you'd be kind of, maybe you'd be classified as sort of a classy hoarder, because you're hoarding nice things, I mean, it seems like most hoarding is just like sort of junk, but...
Right.
I guess it's possible to hoard good things as well.
Well, we do have a few pieces. Well, just maybe I think one piece that we could not have parted with, but it didn't have a place in our house right now. So it's currently sitting in our basement just with its legs crossed, waiting to see where we end up next. It's a record player that we did, but that's such a unique piece. And it was a working record player that you don't really come across those as often as you do other things. So. Yeah. It was hard to part with. We never listed it.
Yeah. It's crazy. It still sounds amazing. I'm just like, wow.
Really?
I can't believe it's this old and it sounds this good.
You know, they used to be called records. Now they're called vinyls. It's coming back, isn't it?
I know. Uh-huh. You could get any current record.
Any current artist.
Yes.
On a record. It's crazy. They're still around.
I know, it's funny. Our oldest is 18 and he loves jazz. And so he collects jazz vinyls. And when he first got into it, I'm like, are you serious? Like, why would you want to go like back in quality? But you know what's funny is because he listens with such intensity to the music and the style and the layers of a performance that he's really, opened up some doors for me to appreciate music in a way that I hadn't before. But it's also the sound of, I don't want to say static, but the sound that a needle on a vinyl makes.
Yeah,
it's a cool sound. I mean, it's like, so it's really unique how things like kind of come back around.
I know. Well, a few of our friends have been like, well, why would you want to use the radio on that? We have iPhones now. We've got music. It's just like the whole feeling of it. It's just, we've played it in our house and I'm like, I love this.
Yeah.
It's an awesome piece.
Yeah, that's cool. So when you guys chose this hutch, was that a difficult, because you guys have done, I mean, you've cranked out quite a bit of work in 2020. Did you guys know right away that that was the piece you wanted to enter in the best new artist category?
Well, when I look at our Instagram feed, that is definitely one of my favorites. And it's our most liked piece too. And I think it's one of the bigger transformations. I mean, we've had some really crazy transformations already in 2021, but for last year, that was like probably the piece we were most proud of, I think.
That's neat that you chose that one, and I know you're glad you did. One of the questions that I like to ask all the category winners is, tell us what you guys enjoy so much about refinishing furniture.
For me, I like every step of the process. I like finding something that's super unique or really great quality. I love transforming it. I love staging it. And I love like the high that you get from the sale, because it makes you feel like that effort that you put into it and your perspective on what might look well is received by other people. And that part feels really good about it too.
Yeah. My favorite part about it is basically when I work my day job, my mind is going a million miles per hour. And when you're done working, it's very hard to shut that off. Mm-hmm. So to be able to go and then start working on a piece of furniture, you almost immediately forget about everything else you were just thinking about, because you're just focusing on the task at hand. And it's so simple what you're doing that it just soothes you. It relaxes you. Like I don't have to think about the 20 things that I still have to do tomorrow when I get back to my desk mm-hmm. by starting the furniture right after work. It's great. And of course, seeing the final product.
It's a form of meditation.
Yes.
Slows your mind.
Yeah. So many folks say that, don't they? They say it's just very therapeutic. And I mean, how many people, you know, you guys are still, you know, working your day jobs, and that's great that you've been able to figure out how to, you know, make it all work. But a lot of people have, you know, come from, you know, high-end jobs, and they're just like, you know what, it's time to transition out. And they're doing, you know, doing the furniture refinishing. There's certainly challenges. It's a lot of hard work, as you guys know, but it's extremely rewarding and therapeutic at the same time. It's fun to learn about all those, you know, backgrounds of so many different people. And, you know, they're, you know, coming from different backgrounds, they've studied different things, you know, in college, and then they're jumping into this category, and it's really exploding. It's a lot of fun, and certainly excited to see you guys as you continue to pump out some fun pieces. If you would share your Instagram account so folks can follow you if they aren't already.
It is Potter, which is our last name, Potter Rebarn, R-E-B-A-R-N.
Double R. So P-O-T-E-R. R-E-B-A-R-N.
Got it. Yep. Very good. Well, Danielle and Evan, you guys have blown us all away, impressed us immensely, and inspired many. You guys received the most votes. And so we say, enjoy the fruit of your accomplishments. It's well deserved.
Thank you so much. We're so honored, and this was so exciting for us. Thank you.
Hello, Katie, and congratulations on winning Best Repurposed Piece.
Thank you so much, Lane. I'm so excited.
Man, I love what you did with that old, that, I mean, I don't know what you see. It was an old hutch, right? I mean, it was a kick to the curb piece, right?
It was. It was originally a two-piece, I guess, china cabinet or storage hutch that I found at the side of the road.
You know, I'm just like blown away. I guess I need to move into more of a neighborhood. We have neighbors, but distant, you know, they're not right up on you. So we don't live in a neighborhood, but I never see things on the curb. We don't really have curbs. I guess it's a problem. We don't have curbs.
I guess that would do it. That would do it.
Well, you know, you always have pretty dramatic makeovers, but do you normally do a lot of repurposing?
I'm not sure. I mean, I find a lot of stuff at the side of the road. The curb has been good to me this year, and it just really depends on what I find and what I have a need for, whether it gets completely repurposed or whether it's just a more modern look of what it already is.
I suppose it's just a matter of, like what you said, when you see it, then you kind of know what direction you want to go with it.
Yeah.
How quickly does it take you to figure that out?
Oh, it's instantaneous.
Is it?
It really is. And I've had many people ask me what my process is or how I come up with these ideas. And I really wish I had a better answer. I have this, and I consider it a gift. I am so grateful that when I see a piece of furniture, automatically I know where it's going to go. I know what it's going to be. So yeah, it comes to me.
Well, man, that is a gift. You need to figure out, is there any way at all to somehow capture all of those internal thoughts going on and put a system
to it so that everybody else can emulate it. Yeah, I really wish I could explain it. I know it would be helpful to a lot of people. Maybe one day I'll figure it out.
No, that explains it. I mean, it's a gift, right? So it just happens. Well, before we go any further, I just want to congratulate you on something else that is quite an accomplishment. For those of you who don't know, Katie has her own YouTube channel. It's called Katie Scott, Salvaged by K. Scott. And my goodness, Katie, you are nearing 100,000 subscribers. You are at, is it like the last time I checked, 90, 91,000 subscribers?
I think I'm just under 91,000. I haven't looked today.
That is incredible. That's terrific.
It has been quite a whirlwind over on YouTube this year. I'm super blessed. I have found so many incredible people over there who are loving what I'm doing, and I'm loving what they're doing, and we're just sharing and building up this awesome community.
Yeah, it's pretty neat when you think about it, because, you know, Instagram has its community, Facebook has community, YouTube has community, but then there's crossovers. And as you go into these other social media communities, there's obviously a lot of other people going over there too, but you meet new people, and then they come over and follow you in other platforms. It's almost like it is a web, right? The internet. And so
yeah,
it just like continues to web out. And that is just so good for the refinishing industry, because it just continues to grow it.
Yeah. It's been fun.
You said it's been fun. So then you're loving all of this.
It's a lot of work too. It is a ton of work. I always knew it was work to put together videos like that, because I've been doing sort of the short form version of it over on Instagram with stories and IGTV for years now. But, you know, until you're actually trying to put together a 15 or 20 minute video of an entire project beginning to end, you don't really fathom how much time and effort and skill is really involved in putting together a video. So I've been trying to teach myself, reaching out to other creators on other platforms, trying to figure out editing software, and, you know, different videography techniques and sound, all kinds of stuff is involved in it. So yeah, it's been keeping me on my toes for sure, but I am loving it.
Yeah. And even the thought processes that go into, like, when you're refinishing, making sure your camera's in the right angle and that you've captured all the right things that you need, because when that refinishing piece is done, it is done. There's no going back to capture anything. I mean, you got to have what you need.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no opportunity for reshoots. There have definitely been, well, I think with every piece that I've done for the channel, there have been things where I'm editing and I think, oh, I should have taken the time to move the camera, or oh, I forgot to record that little thing that I did on the corner. But yeah, it is what it is. It's a learning experience. I hope I'm getting a little bit better with every video. And yeah, it's great to have such an awesome community over there on YouTube. And there is a lot of crossover from Instagram as well, just cheering me on.
Well, you know, you really do a fabulous job. It's smooth. I mean, your introductions and the way you explain it, the video capturing, I mean, and then of course, just being able to see your refinishing skills in action is beyond exciting, you know, when you watch those videos. So keep up the great work there.
Oh, thank you so much, Lee.
Well, so getting back to the piece on the curb.
Yeah.
You ended up making two really cool pieces. Obviously, one that you entered into the Golden Brush Awards and one repurposed category. But you did the other piece, which was the bottom half, I think. Tell us a little bit about what you did with the bottom half, and then we'll dive into the piece that won the award.
Yeah. So I ended up finding this two-piece hutch at the side of the road. And the bottom half was sort of its own complete piece of furniture all by itself. So I thought it was a great size to make into sort of a media console. And it didn't really need anything extra done to it for it to be its own functioning piece of furniture. So it had some beautiful cane doors, and cane webbing is super trendy right now. So I lightened up the cane doors and I did a really soft finish with some house and canvas paint over the whole piece and sold that as its own separate piece of furniture. And then I moved on to the top.
Wow. So you got two media consoles out of this then.
I did. Yeah. Double bang for my buck.
That's right. Now, did you sell, the white piece?
I did. Yep. It sold right away. I think that one might've sold out of my Instagram stories before I had finished putting the top coat on. I had someone who was ready to scoop it up.
Oh, wow. That's great. So where did you get your inspiration for the piece that won the award?
I had seen another creator on YouTube, DIY Lily Ardor, build her own kind of cupboard. She did a DIY build from scratch. And she was looking for a cane webbing substitute because cane webbing has been really hard to find and it can be pricey depending on where you source it from. Mm-hmm. And she came up with the idea of trying burlap instead of cane webbing. So I watched her tutorial and I thought, that is genius and I can do that. So that's where that inspo came from.
Wow. Well, certainly is very beautiful. Tell us about just the process. So you got this, pick this off the curb, you take it back. What was involved? Because I know from seeing the YouTube, and our listeners have to make sure they go watch your YouTube because you go through the whole process there as well. But tell us what all you did to it.
So I needed to cut off the bottom because the way that it originally sat on the bottom half, the cupboard doors were raised up probably about 12 inches. So there was a little shelf in there. So I needed to cut that off flush. I broke out my circular saw to do that, which is something I am not comfortable with. I don't like using power saws, but I got it done. I had to talk myself into that one for most of a day before I worked up the bravery to get to that. I did. Yeah, I did.
On the video, I mean, it looks like you're a pro. I mean, you look like, yeah, it's no big deal. I mean, you obviously express the need to be careful, safety and all that kind of stuff, but you handled it masterfully. You did well.
I'm glad it looks like that on screen.
Of course, I didn't see your face. You weren't crying, were you?
Yeah. No, there were probably some tears. I was probably also biting my tongue and grinding my teeth. <That's right. laughs> But I got it done. I ended up making some really nice clean cuts and got the bottom cut off flush. And there was just enough of a lip left on the bottom for me to add some little 2x4 supports in the corners that I could add some legs onto. So I ordered some legs from Amazon, built myself some support on the bottom for those, stuck them in, and then painted it up.
Yeah, stuck them in. That's a good way to say
it.
Just for our listeners, that was work. Because again, I saw the process take place and there's so many pieces and facets to taking a piece like that, especially when you repurpose it, because there's a lot of, oftentimes there's structural changes that you have to make. And so you did really well.
I figured it out. That was another one where I had to kind of think through it. The first support piece that I installed ended up falling off. So I had to talk to my husband about what is the right way for me to go about attaching these. So he suggested that I put my screws in a slightly different configuration and, I worked through it.
I'm going to ask you a crazy question. This is the way my brain works though, but I'm thinking about, when you put the legs on, and a lot of times these older pieces, even if you don't do anything to the legs, they already have legs or, the support's already there. You can have sort of a wobbly effect that takes place because things are out of balance. Yes. Was that any challenge at all? Like, having to, because you cut off the bottom that was there, you put these new legs on. How was that? Was that kind of a challenge getting everything level?
This one ended up just sort of working out well. The structure that was already in the cabinet was nice and flat. So I had the bottom of the cabinet. And again, I had a little bit of a lip left over after I cut off the excess. So it did just kind of work out to a place where I had a good spot to anchor those braces in and get the legs on. It's not wobbly at all. I think if I had added any legs that were a little bit longer or the hutch was a little bit higher, I would probably run into that wobbly effect and maybe have to add something on the back so I could brace it to the wall. But as it is, it's good and sturdy, and my boys haven't wrecked it yet. So it's doing its work.
Well, speaking of your boys haven't wrecked it yet, that implies that you've kept it.
Yes. Yeah. This one was a keeper. I knew as soon as I got the idea to put the burlap in the doors, I knew it was going to be a good fit for our new dining room. We're renovating our dining room and our kitchen very slowly during all of this world craziness.
Yeah.
But I knew it was going to be a good fit for our home. And it is actually where I've been stashing all of my furniture, staging, props.
Is it?
So that, yeah. Yeah. So it's a good little hiding spot for all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can't close our discussion, Katie, without finding out what kind of weather you're experiencing in Ontario. So hopefully it's good today.
It is. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's really cold. I haven't looked at the thermometer today, but we're definitely in the negative, below 0 degrees Celsius.
Oh.
But yeah, the sun is shining. It's almost over. We're in March now, so.
And now we're heading out.
There's only a few weeks left and things will start warming up.
You know, should I share with you the weather here in North Carolina?
Sure. I'm not jealous. I love my Canadian four seasons.
Well, I could just simply say it's warmer, but then that's probably most of the time that's the case.
Yes.
But it's been kind of a colder winter for us, as I've stated before on some of the other podcasts. But today we're supposed to get up to 63, which I thought, for Canadian friends, you know, I want to be able to speak the right lingo. I think that's 17 degrees Celsius.
Oh, that's a balmy summer day then.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly. So we've got sunshine and it's super, super nice. So fortunately, even though we do get seasons, we don't get them as defined as you guys do.
Yeah.
And I miss that sometimes because, you know, I'm from Michigan. So that is nice to have those clearly defined seasons. We get sort of a blending effect. But the good news is that the blending means for us that usually spring comes a little bit earlier, you know, because of that blending effect. So anyway, I love your attitude. It's okay. I love the four seasons. So you're cool with us having warmer weather down here today.
It's fine. It's all good. Right.
Katie, if you would share all of your social media accounts so folks can follow you.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok, all under Salvaged by K.Scott. And you can find me over on YouTube at Katie Scott, Salvaged by K. Scott.
Excellent. Well, Katie, congratulations on winning the Best Repurposed Piece. You had fierce competition as well, but the public voted and you came out on top. Well deserved. Enjoy the refinishing limelight.
Thank you so much, Lane. I was shocked when I got the news that I had won. I'm so grateful. And thank you to the whole Zebra team for putting this together again, and all of the judges and everyone who voted. It's been a ride.
Well, on behalf of the Zebra crew, it's certainly our joy. Support for Zebra's Before and After comes from Zebra, the brush company that produces smoothness from the filament to the finish. When you rub your fingers across our brush filaments, you'll understand how a smooth finish is easily achieved, providing you enjoyment as you paint. What's more exciting than using a brush that doesn't get in the way of painting, but actually assists you in creating the kind of finish that shows the color and not the brush strokes? Pick up a Zebra paintbrush the next time you paint your furniture pieces. We think, like many other refinishers, you won't go back to anything else.
Hey guys, it's Jen at Perfectly Imperfect. Can you believe it? We are just a few short days away from when official entries will be accepted for Zebra's Furniture Flip Competition. This Friday, March 12th through March 19th, you will be able to submit your piece via Zebra's website, enjoyzebra.com. We are allowing one entry per person. However, you can upload up to 3 photos of your piece if you want to show us different angles of your ugly duckling. If you don't have your piece yet, there's still time. Get out there, do some duck hunting, because you're not going to want to miss out on this opportunity. 3 contestants will receive brushes from Zebra, paint from Mud Paint, hardware from D. Lawless Hardware to complete this makeover. Go to the website now and read through the rules. Everything is out there. Everything is up there for you to look at. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us and we'll be happy to answer those for you. Okay, you guys, I don't know about you, but I am so excited for this. I am so ready for it. We've been talking about it forever, and the time is almost here. I cannot wait to see what you guys have found and to see what you're submitting, and I'm just so excited. So again, this Friday, March 12th through March 19th, official entries will be accepted. Go to Zebra's website now to get all the information that you need, and if you haven't got your ugly duckling, get out there and do some duck hunting.
Thanks for the excitement and energy you provide to the Zebra Furniture Flip, Jen. On behalf of Mud Paint and D. Lawless Hardware and for the Zebra crew, we cannot wait to see how ugly your ugly ducklings really are. And we look forward to seeing 3 contestants flip their pieces into beautiful swans. As you work hard in your studios, we wanted to take a few minutes and give you the opportunity to hear what your friends are working on this week.
Hello, everyone. This is Sandra from Black Lab Furniture Revival. This week, I am working on a custom dresser in my studio. And since we are going to have great weather in Chicago, I'll probably work on something for my inventory, too. I hope you guys pop into my stories and say hi. Stay creative, friends, and have a great week.
Hi there, this is Haley with Haley Duncan Home. This week in my studio, I'm working on a Drexel set. I have a high boy and a low boy combo. It's a beautiful set. I'm finishing it in Wise Owl 1-hour enamel. The color is Weather Vane. It's like a medium gray color. I have a stained top and a stained front on the cabinet doors, and it's going to be really beautiful. Hoping to finish it up this week, so I'm excited to show you guys.
Hey, it's Diana from the Pink Pine Cone. Lots of projects this week. First up, I'm going to finish that tall dresser with a shelving bottom I've been working on. I'll also begin work on a commissioned desk. It has like 9 layers of paint on it. So I'm going to be stripping all of that off. It also has a bit of a smell to it, so you can check out how I get rid of that. I'm also working on a dresser for a boho nursery. It's going to be a supernatural, light raw wood, really pretty piece, has some gorgeous curves to it. And then lastly, I'll be refinishing a dresser that's going to be repurposed as a bathroom vanity. So clearing the space for plumbing, drilling holes for the vessel sink, and then sealing the top to protect against water. So check out my stories at the Pink Pine Cone on Instagram and follow along.
Boy, a lot of great refinishing taking place around the world. Did you know that the difference between a sideboard and a buffet is simply determined by where you place them in your home? According to the website Riley's Real Wood, a buffet and a sideboard are basically pieces of furniture that are long and have low storage space with shorter legs. Oftentimes the buffets are more substantial than the sideboard, but again, they are virtually the same. Riley'sRealWood.com states that a sideboard placed in the dining room is called a buffet, but once it is moved to the living room, it is referred to as a sideboard. In the living room, however, they function greatly as entertainment centers. They also note folks place sideboards in the foyer to welcome guests. Now, if I can only remember that, let's see, buffet equals dining room and sideboard equals living room. I think I can remember that. If you didn't know, now you do. Today's refinishing tip comes from Crystal with Foster's Farmhouse Furniture.
My refinishing tip for you would be to listen to the Zebra podcast while you work. Not only is it educational and fun, but you really feel connected to the amazing refinishing community.
Crystal, that was a fabulous tip. We may be a little biased on your tip, but we think it is one of the best ones yet. Thanks for sharing. Hey friends, can we ask you a favor? It's hard to believe we are already in season 3 of the podcast. It seems like yesterday when we recorded our first episode in season 1. Many of you listen faithfully, and we hear from several of you that share how the podcast helps you feel connected to the refinishing community as you refinish in your studios. As we continue to grow the podcast audience, we ask for you to take a few minutes this week and leave a review on one of the platforms like iTunes. It makes a huge difference in our ratings, allowing more people to discover the show, and that is good for all of us. We love bringing awareness to this great community of refinishers. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Zebra Blogs Before and After Furniture Refinishing Podcast. Today's episode is also featured on thezebrablog.com along with contact information for today's guest. Your comments and suggestions for future episodes are always welcome, and we encourage you to share those by clicking on the podcast slide in our header at thezebrablog.com. That's zebra with an I, blog.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and happy refinishing.